Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, it's a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And as I prayed today and asked the Lord what He would have for tonight, I was looking some in the book of Psalms and looking some, I think it was back in the book of Kings. But anyway, it just seemed like my heart was so burdened for so many people that are in my life right now that are going through some overwhelming storms in their life. And God led me to this verse of Scripture, and He taught me some things as I looked at it and meditated and prayed over it. And I'd like to share those things with you today. I told Brother Wayne a while ago, he said it went over my head. I said, Brother Wayne, I've been in the mail room today. And he just looked at me. I said, well, if I'm going to deliver any mail tonight, I said, I have to get in the mail room and get it. Amen. So you get along with God. And I appreciate the Lord. Let's read starting in verse 45. In verse number 45, there's a lot here tonight that I believe the Lord wants to say. And I hope one of the things that I prayed today as I wept, God just blessed my heart. I said, God, would you please let the spirit of this study be carried to the pulpit tonight. And years ago, I heard a man say, you know, there was a time when it was frowned upon to have any notes of any kind. Y'all remember those days? Some of you do. One man got up behind a knotty pine pulpit to preach, and it was a shame in those days to have any notes, so he rolled his notes up and stuck them in a knot hole. And when he reached to get them, Brother Brian, he pushed them off in the middle of that hollow pulpit. He fumbled around for a little while, and he finally just quit and said, now listen, y'all, there's a good message up here in this pulpit if somebody will help me get it out. Amen. Amen. So, but I heard years ago something that I believe somewhat is true. You've probably heard the preaching where, you know, somebody said, well, you just get up and let God fill your mouth. Well, I believe the Bible teaches, I don't believe, I know, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God said, Paul said to Timothy, give attendance to reading. And so what I learned from that preacher was this. He said, an outline is to do nothing but try to get the spirit of the study to the pulpit. Wouldn't it be a shame for God to just flood a man's soul in the study and then get to the pulpit and be drier than a cracker? Amen. And so God, you know, I'm realizing this more and more. I can't remember everything. So it's good to take a pencil and jot a few things down. Amen. When God speaks to your heart. Verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. I just noticed something there. It blessed me. The ship. I'm glad I'm in the ship. It wasn't just a ship. It was a particular ship. Amen. And to go to the other side before Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Now, if you read another one of the texts, you'll pick up on something. At this point in time, they wanted to make him a king. It wasn't time for Jesus to be a king. He had to go to Calvary and be crucified first. Amen. It wasn't time for him to set up his kingdom. And they were kind of getting ahead of things with the Lord after that he had fed the 5,000. They thought it was time. He departed into a mountain to pray. And when he was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up with unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. And here's really where God started working in my heart, and this is where the message is going to come to a conclusion tonight. But in verse 52, the Bible said, For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Think about that for just a moment. They had just watched Jesus break bread and take the five loaves and two small fishes and feed 5,000 men. That's beside, you study the women and children. So if there was one woman and one child, that's 15,000 people. There's probably more than that. They had just seen that. And yet in the midst of the storm, beloved, things got shaky, amen, in their heart. And if we'll be honest tonight, Brother Dale, I don't know if anybody requested prayer for your sister, but you did. Okay, I don't hear well, Brother Dale, but Teresa, I appreciate Teresa. She's in a storm. She's been in a storm for a long time. And tonight, God wants to talk to us about surviving the storm. He wants us to see some things here tonight that I believe will help us. Let's just dive right into it tonight. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your people. I pray, dear God, tonight you'd clothe us in our calling. And God, I do pray tonight, Lord, for our people, Lord, that are overwhelmed by the storm right now. Lord, I pray that you'll help them. God, help us to be a help to our people. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. We'll look a little bit later back over in Matthew where this is the same account where Peter walks on the water. He says, Lord, if it be thee, bid thee to come unto me. But for right now, I want to just get into this text right here. I want to look at three things tonight and just briefly. The first thing I want to look at tonight is the reality of the storm. The Bible talks about here, they're on the Sea of Galilee, they're going to the other side. Jesus said, boys, get in the ship and go to the other side. And I just want us to understand that the storms of life are real. These people that are preaching a gospel, beloved, that you're never going to suffer, you're never going to go through the storms, everything's going to be a bed of roses, are preaching a lie. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I believe tonight that we need to understand, if we understand before the storm ever comes, the reality of the storms, beloved, that we would understand when they come, we wouldn't be taken by surprise, but we would know that they're coming. And then the severity of the storm. As I was reading this today, I thought about my trip to Israel in 1995. The only reason I remember that, it was the same year that they voted me in as pastor at Liberty. They voted me in February. I went to Israel in March. And a couple from Kingsport paid the way for me to go to Israel. And they had what they call the Jesus boat. And it didn't look like much. I'm telling you, it was a wooden boat, and the tourists got on it, and they went across the Sea of Galilee, and so help me, a storm came down while we were in. That's how they happened there on the Sea of Galilee. They come suddenly, and it was a severe storm, even that we were in, so that waves were coming up over, and water was coming into the boat. You could almost look around the boat and see who could swim and who couldn't, just looking in their eyes, because there was a great fear that came over some people. Of course, in a storm like that, I don't know if a good swimmer would make it. Amen. I mean, it's the Sea of Galilee is 8 miles across. I don't know about you, but I'm not up for 8 miles. Amen. Calm water, let alone stormy water. Amen. And so the severity of the storm. And then I want you to see the humanity in the storm. Because here are these men, the Bible said they're toiling and rowing. You say, Pastor, why would you bring that out? They're doing all that they can do. They're doing all that they know how to do. I believe if you look at Acts chapter 27, when Paul was in the storm, they're throwing stuff off of the ship. They're doing everything they can to survive the storm. In other words, human nature comes out. Amen. I got a thought a little while ago, and I don't know about this, but you remember in the text when Jesus gets in the boat, the Bible said that the wind ceased. And also in another one of the texts, it said immediately they were on the other side. And I'm wondering, Brother Brian, if they weren't pulling so hard against that contrary wind that just one pull shot them to the other side after the wind laid down and the waves laid down. I don't know, but I know this. The storm was real. The storm was severe. And they were human beings in the storm. Some people, listen, they try to put on this facade of a super Christian. Ain't nothing going to bother me. I'm going to tell you something before we get out of here. Something's going to bother every one of us. We're going to go through some storms and there's going to be some uncertainty. And we're going to need to know the Savior. And we need to concentrate not on the storm and not on the uncertainty, but the things that are certain in our lives as God's people. So the first thing we looked at tonight is the storm. Now, here's where it gets gooder. The second thing I want to look at tonight is the Savior. You see, if all you see is the storm, when the storm comes, you're going to get in trouble. Amen. But if you can see the Savior in the midst of the storm. You say, Pastor, I don't know how anybody could expect to see the Savior in the midst of the storm. Well, let me ask you something. Did he say, I'll go with you all the way? Did he say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? You know what that means? That means wherever I am, he's right there too. We ought to look for him in the storm. I'll show you some things here tonight. I believe be a blessing to you. I really do. Let's look at the Savior. It was the Savior, number one, I want to say this, that sent them. Look at verse number 46. And when he had sent them away, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20 real quickly tonight. I don't have this verse memorized, and so I want to read it to you tonight. John chapter 20 and verse number 21. Listen to what the Word of God said. Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. It was the Savior that sent them. Now let me ask you something. How many believes that God is omniscient? How many believes Jesus was God incarnate in the flesh? Amen. In other words, when Jesus went up on the mountain to pray and he sent them away, he knew, beloved, they were fixing to encounter a storm. He knew that because he knows all things. Amen. And I like what Curtis Hudson said years ago. He said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Beloved, listen, God knows, amen. He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. Our God knows that tonight. Now, he sent them. That's important. The second thing that I saw in the text tonight, look in verse number 48. The Word of God said in verse 47, when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. I like this. I like it when the Bible outlines itself. Not only did he send them, but he saw them. Glory to God. Can I tell you this tonight? You've never been in a storm too dark or waves too deep that God didn't see exactly where you're at. He knows where you're at. He knows what we need even before we ask. But the Word of God said to ask and thou shalt receive. Amen. He saw them. I like that, don't you? Beloved, I want you to see something here tonight. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 49. The Bible said in verse number 49, in verse 48 it said he saw them. In verse number 49, but when they saw him. You know what blessed my heart when I looked at this today? I can tell you about the storms of life. Amen. I've been in a few of them. Amen. And it blessed me to know that he saw me a long time before I ever saw him. Amen. That ought to bless us tonight. Amen. Whatever we're going through or going to go through, beloved, he sees it before we get there tonight. He sees us a long time before that we see him. I like that, don't you? Now let me give you this tonight. Look at verse number 50. We said that the Savior, he sent them. The Savior saw them. But then verse number 50, the Word of God said, they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately, what's the next thing say? He talked with them. So God didn't only see them. God didn't, send them, but the Bible said he spoke to them. He talked to them. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing as sweet as hearing the voice of the Savior. Amen. Especially when you're in a dark place, when you're in that storm, amen, in your life. There's nothing, beloved, that'll take the place. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Aren't you glad God's got some saints of God that don't quit following in the storm? They just keep a toiling. They just keep a rowing, amen, because they know one day we're coming out of that storm. Going to come out on the other side, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, victorious over sin, victorious over sickness, victorious over the storms of life. He spoke to them. Let me say this to you. This blessed me. Before he ever spoke to them, he went up on that mountain and spoke for them. He interceded for them, amen. Before he ever spoke to them. Aren't you glad we have an intercessor tonight, seated at the right hand of the Father, talking to the Father on our behalf? So-and-so fixing to go through a storm, Father. We're going to have to give them some mercy. We're going to have to give them some grace. Amen. Oh, it tickled me to death. There I was studying and thinking about my people that are at a low ebb and going through the storms of life. And Miss Donna called me. She said, I'm on my way home. Her voice was strong. She's thankful for what God's done. He's given her a new liver and a new lease on life. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's the God we serve. There's the storm, then there's the Savior. He sent them, he saw them, he spoke to them. But then in verse number 51, he showed them something. You say, Pastor, what did he show them? He showed them what the Savior was capable of. There's no man can tell the sea to lay down, but the God-man. I've said this before, and I'm not just trying to be funny, but I believe when the Savior, the Creator, by the way, beloved, that's the difference in us and all their mother isms. We don't believe the Savior's a created being. We believe our Savior's the Creator. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. The light shined in darkness. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. By him were all things made that were made. Beloved, we know the Creator. I believe when the Creator steps out on the bow of that ship and says, peace, be still, there's not a tadpole that wants to ripple the water. Amen. I believe it's just like a sea of glass, like the Bible's talked about around the throne of God. What did he show them? How did he show himself mighty? The wind ceased. The waves calmed. But then I want you to see this in verse number 51. The wonder followed. Watch what the Bible said here. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. It's not been too long ago, and I'm not going to get personal about this, but somebody that's very close to me, not in our church, that I love dearly, That C word popped up. Y'all know what that C word is, don't you? So much uncertainty. I'm just telling you tonight, when you watch somebody that you love, that with their mouth, they'll tell you it's going to be all right one way or the other. It's going to be all right. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the wonder of knowing Jesus in the free pardon of sin. Knowing that if I go or if I stay, I'm a winner either way. You can't beat that, amen. And the Bible said here, he went up into the ship, the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. There's another text that said, we've never seen it on this fashion. Amen. Let me say this to you. This is, we're kind of getting down now to the last thing. We've looked at the storm. We've looked at the Savior. But I want to look for just a few moments at the saints. These men, these disciples that had walked with the Lord, they had seen the water turned into wine. Amen. They had seen the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead raised. But just recently now, they have seen Jesus take two fishes and five loaves and bless it and break it. And they distributed it and fed 5,000 men. Then they had to get baskets and take up the fragments. You know that? I never thought about this in this light before, but you know what that tells me? How many's ever had a mom or dad say, clean your plate up? We're not throwing that in the garbage can. Say amen. I believe there might be some text, some scripture in that. I don't believe God's in the wasting business. Amen. And I really believe he might have wanted to bless that boy's mama. He might send it all home with him. Said, look what he left with. Look what he come back with. I don't know what he did with it. But I don't believe he wasted it, amen, or he wouldn't have took the trouble to gather it up. But let me give you this tonight. There's a danger. First thing I want you to see among the saints, there's the danger in forgetting. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible said in verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now I want to ask you something tonight. How many of you all that are here in this building tonight, you say, Pastor, I know that I know that I know my name's written in heaven. I've been born again. I'm saved by the grace of God. That's a miracle. If you had no other miracle, you could go back to that miracle and put your finger on it right there. Amen. Somebody got up and preached the message or God's got the finger around your heart because you heard something from mom and dad or you heard something in a Sunday school class somewhere along the line. You heard the word of God and that word of God took root down in your heart and that seed brought forth life. Amen. In your heart. That's a miracle. Faith is a miracle. A lot of people, they want to see something physical. We need to remember, beloved, that the Jews required a sign. Jesus is not pleased with somebody looking for a sign today because he said, I've given you the scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so there's a danger. You say, Pastor, I believe when we get in those storms that some of us are so short-sighted. Amen. Here comes that overwhelming storm. We forget about what he did in the last storm. And the storm before that. And the storm before that. All the way back. You say, Pastor, I've never been in a storm. Hang on, you will. Amen. Brother Mace Jackson was preaching one time years and years ago. I'll never forget it. He said the saints of God are either in a storm or they just come out of one or they're headed for one. The storms are real. And there's the danger of forgetting. What happens if we forget the goodness of God? The Bible said their hearts were hardened. Now you want to talk about somebody in trouble. That's somebody that's in a storm with a hard heart. Beloved, if ever we needed our heart to be tender before him, it's when the waves of trouble are over our head that we might realize those same waves are under his feet. that he knows he's in control in the storm. There's a danger in forgetting. There's a danger in our faith. Turn with me back to Matthew, please, just for a moment. Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14. The word of God said here in verse number 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get in the ship to go to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus, by the way, beloved, that would be somewhere between 3 and 6. I got to thinking about this. I don't know that I'm right, but it doesn't seem to me like when Jesus is sending those people away that it's already dark. It seems to me like it would make sense. I mean, they didn't have the kind of lights we have today. Yeah, they had lanterns and things, but I mean, they took that little lad's lunch, and I believe that it was still daylight. What I'm trying to say is, I believe they've been doing this a long time when he gets there. The fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. I believe in my heart they done been at it at least 4 to 6 hours. Pulling, rowing, doing all that they can in that storm. The Bible said the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus, he spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." A lot of people be critical of Peter, but he got out of the boat. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you'll examine your life, there's a lot of us in the middle of the storm began to sink too. Amen. We cried out to God. And as we heard sang the other day, coming down the road was Jesus. Coming across the sea was Jesus. Right on time. Amen. Watch this now. The Bible said here, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." It was no time to get caught up on his prayer life. Say amen. It was a short, sweet, sudden prayer. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, called him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" I'm going to give you some things here tonight. We looked at the danger in forgetting, the danger in our faith. And I'll give you one more thing in just a moment, and we'll be done. I'm reading this now. This is not something that I wrote, but something that I believe is worthy of sharing. Peter here shows us the weakness of little faith. I want you to listen. Little faith is often found in places where we might expect great faith. Little faith is far too eager for signs. Boy, I just mentioned that. Little faith is apt to have too high an opinion of its own power. Little faith is too much affected by its surroundings. Little faith is too quick to exaggerate the peril or the danger. Yet Peter also shows us some strengths of little faith. Little faith is still true faith. Ain't that good? Amen. Little faith will obey the words of Jesus. Little faith struggles to come to Jesus. Little faith will accomplish great things for a time. Little faith will pray when it's in trouble. Little faith is safe because Jesus is near. I like that. Amen. Spurgeon said, "You do believe, and if you believe, why doubt? If faith, why little faith? If you doubt, why believe? And if you believe, why doubt?" Doubt is literally to be divided in two. True faith is single-mindedly focused on Jesus. So in the storm, Peter's teaching us here, will our focus be on the storm or will our focus be on the Savior? I'll illustrate something tonight. Come up here a minute, Brother Brian. Man, I don't know if I could illustrate it with that or not. Amen. That'd be a bad storm right there. That'd be a bad storm. Here we go. I'll use this one because I'm not real strong. Well, that's light as a feather. Amen. This is the storm. Everybody see the storm? That's the Savior. You know what Peter was doing? You know what little faith does? It sees the Savior through the storm. You know what big faith does? It sees the storm through the Savior.
Like
I do too, buddy. You remind me of that when I get in the storm, will you? Amen. Are we going to look at the Savior through all that mess? Or are we going to look at the mess through the Savior? Make all the difference in the world. Amen. All the difference in the world. If you believe a thing, you want evidence. And before you doubt a thing, you ought to have evidence too. To believe without evidence is to be credulous. And to doubt without evidence is to be foolish. We should have ground for our doubts as well as a basis for our faith. We can say that in theory, there might be reasons for doubting Jesus and His promises. Now, this is a theory. If on former occasions you have found God to be unfaithful to His promise. Anybody ever found God to be unfaithful to His promise? If you have, you got reason to doubt. If some old follower of Jesus has solemnly told you that God cannot be trusted. Brother Chuck, anybody ever followed God? Some old saint of God come along and said, you can't trust Him. No, sir, them old saints of God, they're coming along saying, trust Him, youngins. Trust Him. You can trust Him. I like what one preacher said, you know, in that storm, you can't track Him, but you still trust Him. How many's ever waiting on a package at home? You get a tracking number, don't you, in your email or text message or something like that. I'm waiting on something good, amen. I want to see when it's coming, amen. Where I'm at, the only porch pirates would probably be cows. But anyway, I like to see it coming. I'm going to tell you something in the storm. I like to know He's coming. I may not have a tracking number. And then again, I may. There's all kinds of them in this Bible. Say amen. Amen. If your problem is a new one and so extremely difficult that it's certain that God cannot help you, then you have reason to doubt. If God has abolished His promises and made them no longer valid, then you have reason to doubt. That'd be a good reason to doubt. Someone said, our doubts are unreasonable. Wherefore didst thou doubt? If there be reason for little faith, then there's evidently reason for great confidence. If it be right to trust Jesus at all, why not trust Him altogether? I've never said it exactly like this, but let me say it like this tonight for this message. This is how, here's how I've said it. What kind of a fool would I be to trust Him with my soul and not trust Him with the storm? My soul's the most precious thing I have. I'll never forget that illustration. How many members, Brother Keith, that illustration he made about the soul? He said, now you can hang on to it, nurse it, and do the best you can with it. He said, or you can give that to Jesus. He said, He'll keep it. He'll keep it and safe. Amen. It's useful for us to confront our doubts. Was there good reason for your doubt? Was there any good excuse for it? Did any good come from your doubt? I told you a while back, I've never doubted that God saved me, and that's an unusual thing, I know. I've never doubted that God put His hand on me and called me to preach, and that's an unusual thing, I know. But there are other things that I've doubted along the way. And I know what it's like for God to move in my life in such a way that He makes me ashamed of myself, Brother Gary, for ever doubting Him to start with. Amen. We see the saints, the danger in forgetting, the danger in our faith. That's what we were just talking about. But it could all produce a danger in the future. Go back to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, what I want to look at is just verse 53 and verse 54 real quickly. And when they had passed over, you ought to write this down somewhere in the margin of your Bible. The words, it's used over and over in the Bible, and it came to pass. When you get in one of them dark places, just say, Lord, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. The Bible said, when they passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and they drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. And they ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch him, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. What I want to leave you with tonight is this. There's somebody in every one of us' life that needs us to make it through the storm. There's somebody on the other side of that storm that needs help. There's somebody on the other side of that storm that needs Jesus. There's somebody on the other side of that storm that needs your testimony to the faithfulness of God in the storm. Do you ever wonder why you go through some of the things you go through? I'll tell you what I believe tonight. Sometimes it's just to be a help to somebody else. When we're in the middle of that storm, sometimes we can think, oh my goodness, this is going to destroy me. Well, when God brings us out of it, what we find out was He wasn't out to destroy us. He was just out to develop us. How many believes the disciples were in better shape after that night than they were before that night? They still weren't perfect. We know that. But they were in better shape. God's a growing them, ain't He? He told us to grow in grace and knowledge. How many's glad you come tonight?